I'm excited to begin this morning our new sermon series, Inconceivable, Embracing the Counterintuitive Teachings of Christ in Our Lives. And this series, Lord willing, will take us through Sunday mornings for probably close to the rest of the summer. Most of July and August we'll be together on these teachings. Our theme for 2016 here at Liberty, you see it on the walls, is We Preach Christ. I've wanted the focus, of course I think that's been the focus for 40 years, but I wanted it to be very clear the first full calendar year that I was here. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's not about my opinions or my philosophies. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And every Sunday morning, I think there was one where I veered off of that subject, if you will. But every Sunday morning, we have taken a look at the life of Christ or the church of Christ, the teachings of Christ. And that is all by design this morning. And we had a baby born into our church family. Looking for Brother Rolando. Is he in here? Rolando and Olga, are they in here? They had a grandbaby. I don't think Caesar and Christine made it in, but a baby boy born 7 pounds, 9 ounces, 20 inches long, and very excited for them, the Why Not Taste first grandbaby, and excited their healthy baby boy born into our church this week. My kids were asking me last couple weeks we've been announcing this new sermon series, and they were asking, what does that word counterintuitive mean? What is that? I don't know what that word means, Dad, and maybe you're like me, you didn't know what it meant either until I decided to preach this and had to figure out what it meant. Counterintuitive, the definition for that is contrary to intuition or to common sense expectation, but often nevertheless true. It's something that wouldn't seem to make sense to us, to our line of thinking, maybe a statement or a teaching or a truth, that wouldn't seem to make sense to us, but it's true nonetheless. And may I say, the farther and farther away we get from God, the teachings of Christ are becoming more and more counterintuitive to our culture. The farther and farther we get away from God, the teachings of God's word go completely against what human reasoning believes in this day and age. And Brother Sammy sang the solo with the choir, his life for mine. Some of those thoughts there are counterintuitive. His heart was broken, mine was mended. How can something that's broken be used to fix something? That doesn't seem to make sense to us. I read an example, an interesting story of something that is counterintuitive. It's called the Cobra Effect. And it illustrates the counterintuitive truth that sometimes putting a bounty on something can actually increase its population. Let me explain what I mean. It seems to make sense that if you put a reward or a bounty on a certain animal, the population of that animal will decrease. But this thing I read about this week is called the Cobra Effect. That's not always how it works. The Cobra Effect, we're told, happened during the British rule of colonial India. And the British government was concerned about the number of venomous cobra snakes in Delhi. And the government therefore offered a bounty for every dead cobra. Well, much of the population there struggles in poverty, and they found out they were willing to take the risk to go kill these animals to get money. And so they began to do that, and counterintuitively, this bounty actually ended up increasing the population of cobras. How so? Well, you see, these folks, they began to go and find cobras and to kill them, and the population started decreasing, but these were ingenious folks. They figured out there was a source of income here, and so people began in their homes to breed cobras. And so they figured out, you know, we can breed cobras in our homes as they have babies. We kill some of them. We take those. We make money. Well, the British government got wind of this. They heard about this, and so they stopped paying a reward. Well, guess what happened? Now we have homes all over India that have cobras. These people don't want pet cobras. They were only doing this for a way of business, so they let all of those cobras out into the wild. Now, without understanding it, what happened, the wild cobra population in India further increased. The apparent solution for the problem made the situation even worse. Sometimes in our lives, what seems to be the right course of action is actually the wrong one, and vice versa. Sometimes what makes sense in our minds goes directly against biblical principles. And over the next few weeks, we're going to take a look at some of the teachings of Christ. I believe they're going to challenge your thinking. They might challenge our culture. They might challenge what we've been taught and what we've embraced in our lives. And if you will let them, I believe that these counterintuitive biblical principles will change your life. They will allow you to live a life patterned after Christ and not after the wisdom of this world. Throughout Christ's earthly ministry, he made many profound and powerful statements. He taught many divine truths. And some of these things that he taught us are hard for us to comprehend on the surface. The first one we're going to study this morning on Anniversary Sunday is found in Matthew chapter 23. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 23. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you there. And feel free to use that. If you don't own a Bible and you would like one, please feel free to take that as our gift to you. If you do own a Bible, don't take that as our gift to you. Stop by the bookstore and buy another one. But if you can't afford a Bible and you would like one, we would love for you to have a copy of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 23, we're going to stay here in this passage this morning, and we're going to look at the first counterintuitive teaching of Jesus Christ. The first one that we must embrace is found in Matthew chapter number 23, beginning, and we're just going to read verse 11. We'll come back and study this passage in a few minutes, but by way of introduction, we're going to look at this. Matthew 23, verse 11. Would you read that verse aloud with me this morning? Ready? Begin. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Would you read that again one more time? Ready? Begin. But he that is greatest. That doesn't make a lot of sense. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. This morning, the counterintuitive teaching of Christ that I'd like to challenge our thinkings with this morning is this: service brings significance. Service brings significance. Christ is teaching them here that true value and fulfillment in our lives is only found when we humble ourselves to serve others. You see, in American society and really human nature all around the world, we are taught to believe and to understand in our lives that the height of achievement in life is to get to the place that you are surrounded by people that serve you. What do we have? You look at a king or a president or a ruler of the land. What do we see? The person that has become the leader of their country. What is it? They are surrounded by people that do everything for them. In our lives, we would view somebody, if someone has maybe a live-in nanny, or I'm not preaching necessarily against these things, but a live-in nanny or a live-in maid or a chef or somebody that does these things for them, we would view that person as has probably climbed the ladder of society there, right? We would view that the person that has servants is the greatest. And Jesus Christ said, the greatest among you shall be your servant. We, humanly speaking, we look at the greatest life as, man, if I had somebody to cook my meals and clean my house and do my laundry, and how many folks in this room would say a hearty amen to that, right? If I just had a maid for a day or two a week, and maybe if I had a butler, you know, that I could call and would work with me. And when I am served, we believe in our flesh, we believe when I am served, then I will truly enjoy life. Christ is teaching them something very different here. He's teaching them, when you learn to serve, then you will truly enjoy life. When you learn to serve, you will find significance in life. When you learn to serve, your true greatness will be found. The world says, look out for number one. It's a dog-eat-dog world. I've got to look out for myself. Jesus Christ taught them the greatest. The number one person in your social circles should be the one that serves, the one that is a servant in our lives. On this anniversary Sunday, I believe that this is a very fitting truth for us to understand, because it is only when we learn to serve that our church will have any greatness and any significance and any fulfillment. When we serve one another within the church, when we serve the less fortunate outside of the church, when we serve our enemies, when we serve the lost, why is our church enjoying her 40th anniversary this morning? And by the way, that is a significant achievement. 40 years, there are many churches that don't make it to 40 years. I was reading an article this week that talked about, in American church culture, if something doesn't change, there are upwards of 100,000 churches that are on the decline, and if something doesn't change, they may end up closing in the next 10 to 20 years. Why is that? Why does a church lose its significance? A church loses its significance when it loses this teaching of Jesus Christ, this truth that it's only in our service that we are truly great. It's only when we serve that we truly have significance in our lives. When members come to be served rather than to serve, that church will decline. When members come to be served rather than to serve, that church will have division, because you didn't serve me the way I wanted you to serve me, and you didn't sing the song I wanted you to sing, and you didn't take care of my child when it was in the hospital the way that I want. And I want our church to be a blessing. We visited folks in the hospital this week, and we sent flowers to people in the hospital this week. I want to serve those folks. But when we come to the church with that mindset, when I'm not being served, the church becomes a self-centered, selfish circle of people, a social club, not the gospel shining lighthouse of Jesus Christ. We are called to serve, not to be served. In our lives, in our church family, we are enjoying this milestone because this has been a church that has served for 4 decades. This has been a church that has given. This has been a church that has loved. We have run bus routes every Sunday to bring people to church who otherwise maybe would not have been able to come. We have given hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars to missions. Over $200,000 last year was given to support missions works and rescue missions and foreign missionaries and church plants. Every week in this church, God's people come down to the church on a daily basis to serve, and they serve outside of the church. And every week, Sunday school teachers prepare a lesson why to serve others with the ministry of the Word of God. Every week, there are bus workers here on Sunday morning by 6 or 6:30 in the morning getting things ready. Why? To take bus routes out into areas to pick up boys and girls and teenagers and moms and dads to share the love of Christ with those around us. Every week, folks volunteer to clean God's house and serve, and people go out every Saturday morning to knock on doors and share the love of Christ. Choir members show up early on Sunday afternoons to practice in order to serve us through the ministry of song. Ladies are caring for babies right now in the nursery so that you and I can enjoy a nice, peaceful service. We have sent groups to other countries to serve. We will serve hundreds of children next week at our VBS and Children's Crusade. We have taken offerings to help needy families with food, with clothing, with shelter. I announced last week that I would like some folks to consider giving some of their finances, maybe to help some families in the Christian school, build a scholarship fund there to help some families in the Christian school. And we had thousands of dollars committed and given from that, and we still not where I would like to see it, but we had, that I'm aware of, over $3,000, about $3,500 that I'm aware of that was given by different folks. What is that? A heart to serve. I'm not going to use my resources just for my own good. I want to serve. That's what Liberty Baptist Church has been about. And that's, if there is any greatness of this church, that's where the greatness has been found, in the service of others. Hundreds of members have served every year for the last many years so that we can host a night in Bethlehem to share the Christmas story, the true story of the birth of Christ with hundreds of people at Christmas time. People have given financially so that buildings could be built, missionaries could be sent, buses could be purchased. Why? What are they trying? This church exists not to serve us. This church exists not to create a religious country club. This church exists to serve. And that is why we are celebrating 40 years today. God wants us to serve. That is why we're here today, and that's why we'll be here tomorrow. May I say, when our focus turns from outward in service to inward to be served, we will announce the impending death and doom of our church. When we stop understanding that service brings significance, this church will no longer have a reason to exist. When we stop understanding in our lives that service is where true greatness is found, we will not make any lasting difference in the lives of our family, in the lives of our community, in the lives of those around us. May I say this morning, church, the greatness of Liberty Baptist Church is not found in our beautiful buildings. And I'm thankful for these beautiful buildings. The greatness of Liberty Baptist Church is not found in our 9 or 10 acre campus, whatever it is. And I'm thankful for this campus. The greatness of Liberty Baptist Church is not found in our new gymnasium. It's not found in the fact that our address is in the affluent area of Newport Beach. The greatness of this church always has been and always will be in our willingness to sacrifice and serve Christ and serve others. Significance only comes through service. May I say this? A church can be greatly used of God without any buildings, when that church is focused on serving God and serving others. And a church with great buildings can be of no significant value and eternal impact when it loses its heart to serve. What does our bulletin say on the back of your bulletin? What's the purpose of our church? Loving God, loving others, serving people is what we are called to do. Service brings significance. Matthew chapter 23, and I'll wrap it up. See, that's what I would normally say right at 10:59, and we go a little longer. I'm going to wrap it up here. I have another page and a half of notes, but I've already been through three. Does that give you hope? Right there. Matthew 23, I want you to notice this passage as Christ teaches. I want you to see the context of what he says. Matthew 23, verse number 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. He's teaching his followers. He's speaking to people like you and me. Verse number 2, he says, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. They have power of leadership and governmental authority. Verse number 3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. He said, because of their position, because they're in rule over us, they sit in Moses' seat, whatever they tell you to do, obey the laws. Now we understand if God's law and man's law disagree, we ought to obey God rather than man. But if they don't disagree, obey the laws, but don't follow their pattern. What is he telling them in verse number 4? For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. That was a piece of scripture they would put on their body somewhere to show people. They make them big to let them know, I'm religious, I'm spiritual. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth. That's not talking about biological father. It's talking about the area of a spiritual leader or teacher. I'm not Father Thompson, I'm Pastor Thompson. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Notice this in context, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be what, church? Abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be what? Exalted. What did he say? He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The greatest among you is your servant. Learn that true greatness comes in service. And what did the Pharisees and the scribes, where did they get mixed up? What were they focused on instead of service? And may I say to you, and here's my challenge, and here's the heart of the message, because we get focused on some of the same things they do. They weren't focused on service. I see number one in this passage, the Pharisees and the scribes were focused on image. Notice verse number 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. For them, it was all about how they dressed. It was all about how they looked. It was all about, did you know that I'm spiritual? Did you see what I am? Look at our church. Did you see the big buildings we have? And did you see how spiritual we are? Did you see we sang the right songs today? And it's all about our image. Oh no, Jesus Christ said, don't obey their laws, but don't follow their lives, because they're focused on image. They're not focused on service. And may I say, Liberty Baptist Church, may we not be focused personally or collectively on our image. May we be focused on the King of Kings and serving others with his love and his gospel message. It's not about what do other people think of you or this church. It's about how do I serve? They're focused on image. They make broad their phylacteries. I want people to know I'm a good Christian. I want people to know, look at my robes. Look at how I dress for God. Look at that. I'm not against, I put on a suit and tie today. I'm not against getting dressed up for church or whatever. And I'm not against if you didn't dress up for church. That's between you and the Lord. And there are cultural and traditional reasons why all of that happens and doesn't happen in different places and whatever. But may I say, it's not about what you do or don't wear. It's not about how you do or don't look. It's about, is your heart to serve other people? He said, don't follow them. They're focused on image. They do their works to be seen of men. It's all about what other people think of them. It's not about how they can serve their fellow man. Forget about your image and dedicate your life to service. Secondly, what do they focus on? They focus on image. They focus on power. Verse number 4, they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. I mentioned this when the deacons came up. I made it very clear. Biblically, deacons is not a position of power. It's a position of service. To be a deacon is not some ruling, governing board. I'm working my way up the spiritual corporate ladder at Liberty. And I started as an usher, and then I'm moving up to the parking lot, and then I'm moving over to the bus ministry, and then into the Sunday school, because I want to have power. And eventually I'm going to get to where I don't have to serve anybody. and everybody serves me. And he said, that's what they did here. They laid burdens on people. You do this and you do that and you do this, but they weren't willing to pick up their finger and do anything. May I say, the only reason this church, if this is a great church, the only reason it's a great church, and if it will remain a great church, the only reason it will ever have any greatness is found not in our power, not in our image, but in our heart for service. We focus on, we think in our human thinking, the more authority we have, the more important we are, the more people we are over, the better we are. Christ said, learn to serve. Number three, they focus on position. Verse 6, they love the uppermost rooms and feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. They're the name droppers. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at who I know. Look at where I've been. And Jesus told them, don't get mixed up in all that. And isn't it easy to do that? Whatever your circle is, it's easy to do that, isn't it? Focus on position, focus on power, focus on authority, your image. Christ said, forget about all that. Just serve people. Just love folks. You don't get the position? Love people. You don't get the recognition? They didn't call you up for the 40th anniversary at the church? Just love God. Love people. Serve others. We focus on image. We focus on power. We focus on position. Lastly, we focus on titles. Verse 7, he said, they love to be called of men, rabbi, rabbi, but be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. You're all brethren. You're all on the same level. Guys, I don't have time to go there, but if you want to go over to Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 30 later on your own time, he gives this same counterintuitive teaching. At the end of his life, he's talking to them right at the Last Supper. Judas is about to betray him. And Jesus, and they start fighting which one of them is the greatest. Which one of us does Jesus love more? I think he loves me more. If you read John, John talks about the disciple whom Jesus loved, talking about himself. And I think he loves me more, and I think he loves me more, and I think he loves me more. And Jesus said, don't worry about that. The chief is going to be your servant. The big boss, if you will, the most important one is the servant. He tells them the same teaching over in Luke 22, verses 19 through 30. But we focus on titles. And he said, you're all brethren. You're all on the same level. You're all my child. We're all in the family. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't be looking, am I ahead of him? Am I ahead of her? Hey, we've got a nicer car than they've got right now. We moved up here and we're doing better than this one. We're doing better than that. And we've been faithful longer than they have. And forget about all that. You're brethren. Don't worry about titles. Don't worry about image. Don't worry about power. Don't worry about position. What did he say? Forget about all of that and realize that as counterintuitive as it may seem, true significance in this life is found when we stop seeking for others to live for us and we learn to live for others. As I close, may I remind you what the Bible describes as the greatest act of service. The ultimate act of service, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is the greatest act of service. This week in Dallas, his shots rang out and people ran away as fast as they could. The Dallas PD, what did they do in the greatest act of service? They ran toward that to protect the people of Dallas. And what did they do? In service, they had true significance. Their life, we know about their life. Their life matters. Why? Because all over the country, law enforcement officers willing to do that each and every day. What? To serve. What do they say? To serve and protect. Even more amazing than the fact, and you think about it, just because you wear a uniform doesn't make you want to run toward bullets. Think about that act of service. They very easily could have run with everybody else, said, well, I'm not going to worry about that. But even more amazing than those Dallas police officers is the fact that Christ didn't run from the cross. He willingly laid down his life in the ultimate act of service to give us the ultimate position of significance. He made us a child of the King. We who deserved nothing, we were beggars, we were aliens against God. In the ultimate act of service, the King of Kings, who had all power, who had all position, who had all titles, he said, I'm not worried about any of that. I'm going to find significance in service. He humbled himself and he came and he gave us the ultimate significance through his ultimate sacrifice of service. The Son of God became a sacrificial lamb so that you and I might become the children of God. His service brings significance to our lives. The ultimate act of service brought the ultimate significance. The Bible tells us in Philippians, let this mind be in you. Which mind? Which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation, no titles, no image, no power, no position, and took upon him the form of a what? Servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now notice what happens through that ultimate act of service. But God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. His service brought the ultimate significance. God exalted him and gave him that name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Those that crucified him will bow. Those that spat upon him will bow. His service brought him the ultimate significance, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ loved you so much that he died for you. They sang at Calvary's cries, whispering your name. He conquered death, forever he is glorified. His life for mine, all the songs, he loved you enough to die for you. Have you ever accepted his free gift of salvation? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you accepted that ultimate gift of sacrifice and service? Have you learned in your life beyond salvation to embrace this counterintuitive teaching of Christ, that it's service that brings significance? We think position brings significance. We think title brings significance. We think achievement brings significance. Do you know where I graduated from college? Do you know what degree I have? And I'm not against degrees. I'm not against promotions. I'm not against a good, successful career. But that's not where our significance is found. He taught them here, don't do like they do. Your significance is not found in all that stuff. Not in your image, not in your power, not in your positions, not in your titles. Your significance is found in service. You want to be this week a great husband? Learn to serve. We think if my wife would just serve me, then we'd have a good marriage. Christ said, learn to serve and you'll have a great marriage. Husbands, love your wives. You want to be a good mother? Learn to serve. You want to find significance in your friendships? Serve others. You want to be a great employee this week? Serve. Don't manipulate and posture and position yourself. You want to find fulfillment as a CEO? Learn to serve. Don't lord over your minions. Serve those that God has called you to lead. You want to learn to love your brothers and sisters' children? Learn to serve them. Don't look for what they can do for you. Seek, how can I serve them? You want to enjoy this church more? You say, it's okay, but man, I see pastor up there and he gets excited and he likes it. Seems like I just doesn't really do that for me. I don't know where he gets all that. You want to know how to enjoy church a little bit more? Find a place of service. The more you serve, I'll guarantee it, because he teaches it here, the more significant church will become in your life. The more it will matter. You want to enjoy church a little bit more? Learn to serve. Do I want to be a good pastor? I need to serve the people. When I start believing that you exist to serve me, I will destroy this church, or I will do something very detrimental to the cause of Christ. When I start thinking that I am this high, I'm not on a pedestal, I'm this person. I understand there's a position of leadership, and I believe a position spiritually of respect for the pastor. But when I start believing that I have some special place and everybody exists to serve me, that will be the end of God's blessing upon the leadership, my leadership here at Liberty Baptist Church. This teaching doesn't make sense, does it? Nobody wants to be a slave. When you look in the Bible, very often that word servant and slave are interchangeable. Nobody wants to be a slave. People fight against slavery. People fight for their freedom. And I'm not against that. We view servant or slave, butler, maid, whatever it might be, we view those as some of the lower levels of society. We view leaders, masters, teachers, all these are up here. And what did he say? But the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever exalts himself, I'm going to abase. And whoever humbles himself, I'm going to exalt. As you learn to serve, I'm going to bring significance to your life. As you learn to serve, I'm going to bring fulfillment to your calling. As you learn to serve, I'm going to give you healthy relationships that go beyond any material possession. As you learn to serve, I'm going to bless your church. If this church is a place that's reaching out and loving and helping people, guess what? We're never going to want for people, because people need to be loved and helped and served. Service brings significance. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you've listened well this morning. How many of you this morning would say, you talked about the fact that Christ laid down his life for us in the ultimate act of service. You would say, Pastor Thompson, between you and God, no one looking around, I've never accepted that free gift of salvation. If I were to die today, I do not know 100% sure that I would go to heaven. I don't know for sure that Christ is my Savior. I'd like to pray with you. If that's you, if you'd be honest between you and God and say, I don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up. I'd like to pray with you. Just slip it up until I see it. I won't single you out. I won't embarrass you. I'd just like to pray with you. I don't know Christ as Savior. On this 40th anniversary, why does this church exist? To share the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Is there anybody like that here that would admit that? I'm not 100% sure if I died that I would go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Anybody at all? How many of you this morning would say, I guess I kind of knew it that I'm supposed to serve, but I viewed it just as this duty, but I didn't see the teaching of Christ that it's where true greatness is found. It's where true fulfillment is found. If our church wants to be around to enjoy a 50th or 60th or 70th or 80th anniversary, we must understand that service is where significance is found. How many of you this morning, God spoke to your heart directly and showed you maybe as a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad or an employee or an employer, a servant of Christ, a Christian, I need to change my thinking about where I'm finding my significance and my fulfillment. And with God's help, I want to be a greater servant. Pastor, would you pray with me? I'd like to pray with you. Would you slip your hand up? I'd like to pray with you this morning. God spoke to me directly through this message that I'd be a greater servant. Hands in every section. I appreciate that. You can put your hands down. Let's stand together. Anna begins to play. The altar's open every Sunday morning. We take a few moments where we give you an opportunity in the quietness of the moment to spend some time in prayer. You can come to the altar. Would you ask God, maybe you want to pray for our church, that we wouldn't find our significance in our image, in our achievements, in our accomplishments, but we would find as a church family our significance in service. Would you pray for your pastor that I would understand this? My human nature fights against that teaching. Maybe pray for your family that you'd be more of a serving husband, more of a serving child. Maybe there are some that say, I need to get involved in service at the church. I need to serve my neighbor in a greater way. If you're here this morning, you have a special prayer need that you'd like somebody to pray with you about, just slide out. Let one of our pastors know. We'd be honored to pray with you. If you have a question about going to heaven, question about church membership, and by the way, those two things are very different. Church membership doesn't take you to heaven. Only Christ can do that. We'd be honored to share with you and talk to you about any of those things. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Oh, in the human economy, that's not how it works. But in God's economy, that's how it works. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. He that exalts himself will be abased. Service is where we find significance. Lord, I do thank you for this truth. I pray that I would have conveyed it with the way that you conveyed it to me through your word. On this 40th anniversary, God, I pray that we would remember that your blessing has come, Lord, as we have sought to serve. And your blessing will only remain, Lord, as we seek to serve. May this not become a selfish, inwardly focused, image-conscious church. God, may we care more about serving you and serving others. God, in our homes this week, as we go to our places of business, may we not view people as tools to serve us, but God, may we view our lives and see people as opportunities to share the love of Christ through service. I pray that you would help us to carry these thoughts with us. I ask these things in your name. Amen.